Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
So, we're in Acts. It's great to continue to be in this book. What I have been doing at someone's suggestion is reading through it just every day. So, along with the where I'm in the Old Testament right now, I'm a normal scripture reading, and I'm also reading a couple chapters of Acts every day. And so that has forced me to go through it now probably six or seven times. And every time, the interesting thing about it is every time I get something different I did not get before. So I would encourage you, as you find those places in scripture where God's revealing something to you that you never saw before, highlight those things. Then at the end of the year, you can go back through your Bible and see all the places that you highlighted in that. So last year I used green as a highlighter for, well, you remember last year we talked about highlighting all the promises of God. So when I went back through scripture, my Bible at the end of the year, I could see these green highlights of all the places in scripture where God promises things to us. At the end of this year, I'll have green, and then also I'm using light blue for mine. Can look back and see all the places where God revealed something to me through scripture that I had never noticed before, that I hadn't been aware of or just had read over without the awareness, and the Holy Spirit brought it to light. So even as I've read through Acts so many times now, God is still showing me new and different things, and that's so good to serve a God that's word is living and active, right? So we're going to read Acts, and we're going to be all the way down to Acts 4, verse 22. And then next week, we'll likely finish out Acts 4. But today, the focus we're going to be at is 13 through 22, but I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 1. So Acts 3, verse 1 says this: "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so he could beg from those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, 'Look at us.' And so he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, 'I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.' Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, started to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." That, in my scripture, is one of the blue highlights. Because oftentimes I thought the miracle was just the fact that he could walk, and that is absolutely miraculous in itself. But as I mentioned last week, when I read it again last week so many times, I was like, you know, that's a miracle that he had never walked before, and he could walk like that. You know, instead of having to learn to walk all over again, he just, through the Holy Spirit, had it and jumped up and started to walk. "He entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. And while he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran towards them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, 'Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate. Though he had decided to release him, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your leaders did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people." In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant that God made with your ancestor Abraham, saying to Abraham, "And all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring." God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. And while they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." Then they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in opposition. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign has been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again." And so they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God for you to listen to us, right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released him. They found no way to punish them because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done, for this sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. Let's pray. God, for this sign and all the signs that you give us, that shows us your power, we're thankful. Give us eyes to see those as you reveal them to us. God, we pray that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning. In your name, amen. There's a couple places we're going to go this morning. But the first place, as I read this, one of the things that stood out to me every single time that I read it this week was this verse 17. Well, it's really 16, 17. 18. They just sent them out. They were talking amongst themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign has been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it." So first, they're already acknowledging that something has happened. This power has been exerted. This man has been healed, and they can't say this didn't happen. Right? Think about in relation to what they've dealt with in the last few months. Okay, in the last couple of months, first off, just right outside of Jerusalem, Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and he's raised from the dead. If we're following the chronology of John's gospel. And then, not long after that, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And he tells his disciples, hey, some prophecy has to be fulfilled. So go get this donkey. They bring him the donkey. They get the upper room prepared. And Jesus is now riding into town on this donkey to fulfill the prophecy. And the people are losing their minds. They're ripping off their coats. They're throwing them on the ground. They're putting palm branches on the ground. They're doing all this stuff. Which you can imagine what this is. I mean, so think about this through the eyes of the religious leaders who aren't in the place where Jesus is. They're not in the place to say Jesus is the Messiah. They think that this is some false prophet who's come in, but the people are whipped up into a frenzy. So they're having to deal with this, right? And then the next day, if we're following John's chronology, what happens? Jesus walks into the temple, starts flipping tables over. Driving out the money changers and the people who are selling the things that would be bought for the thrill of sacrifices. And the religious leaders were not thrilled at all this. And then there was this agreement with Judas. Let's get this guy out of here. So they dealt with all this, including the crucifixion. And then think about what happens after the crucifixion. We celebrated it last week, the resurrection. But outside, if you're looking at it from their viewpoint, Peter, we've gone over it a few times in Acts, he was looking for someone when they were looking for a replacement for Judas. What was one of the criteria they said? Somebody who's been with us from the beginning, since Jesus started, from when he was first baptized all the way till he was raised again, because this eyewitness to the resurrection of the dead is going to be important for us. The disciples had this knowledge. The religious leaders, what do they see? A stone that's been rolled away from a tomb, an empty tomb, and that's about the whole thing. That's all they see. And so what can they do? They can very easily say what they said, which was they just rolled the tomb away. And they can make excuses. They can make reasons. They can make up things and say, to explain away what had happened. But everybody's seeing us. We can't deny. They are acknowledging, like, what can we do? Everybody's seeing us. We can't deny this. Here's the line that stood out to me every time I read it. But so that this does not spread any further, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again. But so that it doesn't spread any further. Can you imagine being so blinded by your own preconceived set of ideas that you aren't even willing to acknowledge what you're seeing with your own eyes? And that you don't want, and it'd be different, right? If what had happened to this guy had been bad. But it wasn't. This was a guy who never walked a day in his life. It tells us, as if this was old, that this was a man over 40. But the idea being, this is a grown man who's never walked. They've seen him here for a long time. We know this. We can't deny it. Wouldn't you want that to spread? Wouldn't you want the heal? That's a good thing. They didn't want it to spread. It challenged them. We talked about that a little bit last week. And here was their answer. So that it doesn't spread any further, let's warn them about speaking in this name anymore. Can you imagine being so blinded by what you've always done that you missed the thing that you've always been looking for? That was the thing about the Jewish faith at this moment, is there was this coming Messiah that they had been promised. Except for, it had been built up in their minds to be one way. And God chose to do it another way. It wasn't that God didn't choose to do it. In fact, we've already acknowledged that tons of prophecies were fulfilled in this man of Jesus. We just touched on one, the donkey, the borrowed donkey coming into the city. That was one. There was a bunch. And so God did it the way he told him he was going to do it, but it wasn't the way they built it up in their brain. And so, and even we talked about earlier in Acts, the disciples didn't quite get it, even after Jesus rose from dead, because one of the questions that was asked of Jesus right before he ascended is now the time that it's going to be restored to us? Like, are we going to get the power now? And the answer was, yes, you're going to get the power. But it wasn't the power they were looking for. They were so blinded by that, that they couldn't see what was right in front of their face, or they didn't want to see what was right in front of their face. That's oftentimes what it is, because they did see it. They said, we can acknowledge it. We've seen this guy. We know this guy. Everybody knows who this guy is. Everybody knows this condition. This wasn't a 40-year scam. This man could not walk, and now he is walking. What in the world are we going to do with it? But we don't want it to spread, so let's threaten them. I just wanted to bring that out because, man, I think that we can get locked into that. I think that we can have a view of Christianity, or we can have a view of church, or we can have a view of our prayer life, or whatever it is. We can have a view of what we think God's blessing for our life looks like. And God chooses to do another way, and we can completely ignore this really great thing because we're so focused in on this. But one of the things that it acknowledges, right line. Verse 13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, meaning they weren't as smart as them, they didn't get the training that the Sanhedrin got, that the high priest got, that all these religious leaders got. They were the dumb ones. They were the ones, when it was come time to memorize the first five books of the Bible and be tested as young men, they didn't pass. So they were sent back home to whatever their family's business was, being a carpenter, being a fisherman, whatever. Some kind of smith, a silversmith or whatever. I'm sure those existed. Like, whatever it was, they were sent back home. They were the dumb ones, and this is what they're saying. These are the guys. These are the ones. They haven't been trained. They haven't been educated. We know that. And then it says, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. That was the thing that changed them. It changed the disciples. And the Sanhedrin recognized it and said, this is a difference. They recognized that these were men who had been with Jesus. And so if we look at this scripture, and we're going to take in all of chapter 4 up until this point. If we look at all of chapter 4 up until this point, what does it look like to be someone? What does it look like to be recognized as someone who has been with Jesus? And it starts out the way that chapter 3 started out. With power. This power was working through them. That said, this man may be crippled his whole life. That's no match for God. Peter and John knew that. They didn't hesitate. They had seen the power of God work. They understood that God didn't work in the framework that we work in our own kind of thing. Like, they had doc. We don't have anything to give you. And they realized God didn't work within that. That God could heal this man. We don't have anything to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He did. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. And one way that was manifested was through the power that was at work within them, fulfilling what it was that Jesus had promised his disciples already. Which was what? You've seen this power. You're going to do even greater things than I am. We haven't quite got there yet. We will get there in Acts. What happened in this story was something that Jesus had done. So if we're getting there, it's like, okay, the same. But they understood what Jesus said. They believed what Jesus said, that you'll have even greater power. You'll do even greater things than I will do. The way Paul puts it in Romans was the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. The disciples, because they had been with Jesus, they were marked by that. They understood that. They did not back down from that power and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. I love these stories in the New Testament because it forces me to ask this question. Can you imagine what would have happened if they had said that and it didn't? Right? Like, he says this and this guy just sits there and he can't get up. You don't get the sense that Peter and John ever even considered that. They had seen it. They had experienced it. They knew it. They didn't back down at all. It's like, God, you're going to have to step up or look dumb. But the power of the Holy Spirit was working in him. So Peter already knew the answer to that question. Peter already had the compulsion of the Spirit to say this to this guy, to stand up and walk. God is not going to lead us into places if we're following God. He's not going to lead us into places in which his power is not going to work, or likely not already working, and we're just joining him in that. And so they had this power that marked who they were as people who had been with Jesus. The second thing, and we saw this last week, there was a boldness that was happening in them that was marking who they were as people who had been with Jesus. Peter was a guy who a handful of months earlier was more concerned about self-preservation than he was about identifying with Jesus. And he learned a valuable lesson. And I'm sure it felt emotionally tough, but when we see the response of Jesus, it was kind of a gentle lesson. If we take St. Peter's Gospel of John, which is really the only gospel that kind of deals with Jesus and Peter in the aftermath directly, he calls him over from a fishing morning and cooks him some breakfast. "Do you love me, Peter? You got some work to do. Feed my sheep." What a beautiful and gentle thing. So Peter was this man who was marked by that. And now he had boldness because he's like, if this is the kind of grace and mercy that is happening, why would I ever back down from it? But even more than that, God sent his Spirit to Peter and John. So it told us last week that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up in boldness, and it was obvious to him. It was shocking to them. It was like, these guys have no education. They have no training. They have none of that. But yet they're standing up speaking with boldness, almost like when Jesus spoke. Remember, it said he was a guy who spoke as one who had authority. I kind of get that same feeling when I read this part of Acts. It's like, Peter now understands the authority that is working, that God's authority is working through him. And so that marks them. In fact, we see it later. Later in this little section that we're reading this morning, they threaten them. Peter was threatened just a handful of months earlier, and he bent to it. Or he felt threatened, and he bent to it. Now he's literally threatened. They threaten them. And what do they tell him? You decide whether it's right for God, for us to listen to you rather than God. But as for us, we can't quit talking about what we've seen and heard. So now you got a choice, all right? Peter, that's a bold move. Because what could that choice have been? Could have been to stone him, right? We see that happen just a handful in a couple chapters. We'll see that happen to Stephen. Stephen was one of the seven guys who was sent out to help distribute money to those who were in need. So the disciples set aside seven people for this daily distribution to make sure that they could be freed up for the prayer and preaching ministry. And Stephen was one of them. And Stephen had this same boldness. He was a guy who was marked as being with Jesus. He had this boldness. And he's like, you decide. And they decided, and they stoned him to death. And that could have happened to Peter and John this day. They didn't care. That worry had left them. They had witnessed the resurrection of the dead. It's hard to be nervous about dying when you see that God has already defeated death, when you understand and when you believe it. So this boldness, that had marked them as someone who had been with Jesus. But here is another thing that stood out to me for the first time when I read it this week, when I read this section this week. And it wasn't even the first couple times I read it this week. It was later on. And the interesting thing is, on Thursday night when we gathered to kind of talk through the scripture, when the men here gathered to talk through the scripture, I shared that. And there was another person there who said the same thing. It's like, you know, that actually stood out to me this time as well. Like, I'd never kind of picked up on that. And it was this idea or this realization through scripture that Peter is beginning steps of discipleship with these guys who are priests. Because what is he doing when they say this? He just points them back to God. He said, okay, well, you got to go to God and now decide, is this right or wrong? which is what discipleship really is. I mean, we've built like discipleship ministries and churches. It's like, okay, you got to learn these things and whatever. But if we read through scripture, especially the letters that kind of flowed after Jesus ascended, what were they constantly doing? Well, we just read through Timothy. Peter was giving Timothy some instruction. He was constantly pointing him back to Jesus. And that's what he was doing in this moment to these people who were very angry, who were feeling threatened, who had the power to kill him or to jail them or do any number of things which they're going to do later in Acts. And he's just points them back to God. Said, you got to go to Yahweh. Figure it out. Which is a mark of discipleship, was pointing people back to Jesus and said, okay, you got to figure it out. Paul wrote this really short phrase in Philippians that would be appropriate here. You got to work out your faith with fear and with trembling. That's what Peter was basically telling these guys in the Sanhedrin. You got to go back to God and figure it out. One of the things that had marked him was now he wasn't a person who wanted to say, here's all the 15 things you got to do to be saved, but you got to go to God and figure out, is this right? Is this good? Is this true? I can tell you all day long, but it's God's Spirit who's going to draw you. It's God's Spirit who's going to direct you. It's God's Spirit who's going to guide you. You got to go to God's Spirit and figure that out. And so this mark of discipleship was now living within Peter and John. To say the people that they were engaged with, you got to point them back to. Talks to the crowd before the Sanhedrin pulls them aside. And he said, here's some things you guys did. It wasn't good. Here's what God did. It was great. He didn't say, you're filthy rags in the presence of God. When someone says, hey, here's what you did. You murdered an innocent man, but God raised him to life. You're now looking at what you've done in contrast to who God is, and you got some work to do. You got to wrestle with that. Pretty obvious on our side. But he was drawing them back to God, drawing them to the person of Jesus to say, you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to think through that. You're going to have to. As I've gotten older, I used to, I remember I was talking to Heather about this actually this week and Natalie. But I remember when I was a first year seminary student. And if you've ever done any kind of Bible college or seminary, and especially if you're young, you instantly think you know everything. Because for the first time in your life, you're learning the Bible in a way in which you may not have learned it before. Maybe it wasn't through formal education. Maybe it was just through reading scripture and God's now revealing stuff to you first time. And you feel like this has got to be for everybody. And I was probably a jerk about it. I was arrogant about it at best. And that was best case scenario. I remember discussions I had with my family, and then it just wasn't great, and it was my fault because I didn't have the right heart. And we see that, you know, it happens. God is gracious through all that. But as I've gotten older, I'm less likely to argue. And I still do, like I'm just kind of wired for debate. When Natalie and I started dating, I just warned her about that. It's like, look, you're going to have to stand up for yourself because if not, I'm just going to run you. That's an honest conversation Natalie and I had when we first started dating. I was like, and I don't want to do that. So I'm telling you that now so that we can work that out. I'm less likely to do that now. I used to want to be right about everything. Now I find myself a little more like Peter and said, hey, you got to go to God and figure out if this is right or wrong. Think about what did we read in Barnabas? Sharp disagreement drove them apart. What did we read in 2 Timothy? Paul was calling John Mark, the guy who caused this disagreement. He's like, bring him with you. This is my brother. I love him. Like it wasn't like the brotherhood was broken. It wasn't like the fellowship was broken. It's just like God led them to two different places. Peter, about this issue, God is not leading them to two different places, but Peter just says, here's what we believe. Here's the power that did it. This is all we did was we spoke to him in the name of Jesus, and God did this. Now you got to go to God and figure out if it's right to obey you or him. But as for me, I got to do what I got to do. It was interesting because this morning, part of what we read before we started was 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here's what Peter says in that, which I thought was great in relation to where I knew we were going this morning. In 1 Peter 2:17, as he's talking about these instructions, in fact, the heading on this one says, a call to good works. And so he's telling them all this stuff, abstain from these things, do these things. The very end of that is he kind of sums up that little section. He says, honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters. Emperor wasn't always good. Wasn't always kind to the Christians. But honor everyone. Love everyone. Even honor the emperor who was really working against us. But we had to figure out a way to honor him. And so that had marked Peter and John as people who had been with God. And here's the truth. Peter understood when he said that it may not have gone well for him. And later in his life, that happens for the same reason. Just didn't happen right here. N.T. Wright wrote this in a book I was reading about this, where God's power is at work to bring real change, real healing, real new life. There, the people who are naming the name of Jesus to bring it about can stand up before judges, whether political or religious, and say with integrity that they are speaking for God. It will be costly. That's part of the deal, but it will be true. That had marked John and Peter. They understood that. They were willing for truth to accept whatever happened to them. And that had marked them. They were marked as people who had power working through them, who had boldness, who were constantly pointing people back to this. They were just constantly discipling people, pointing them back to God. You've got to go to God and figure this out. This isn't a list of 10 things that you do. This is between you and God, and you've got to figure this out. We get that same opportunity. When the God Spirit marks us, we have power that can and does work through us. Sometimes we're ignorant to the fact that it is working through us and what it can mean in people's lives. Earlier this week, Tracy brought a need to the church, simple need. Through it, multiple needs were met because that's what God did. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't the power of any one person. Tracy didn't call me with a chest, you know, scenario in mind where she'd already thought 3 or 4 moves ahead and knew like this could. It was just, hey, I know somebody who's in need of something, and God ended up meeting multiple needs in their life through the power of the Spirit. We have power that lives and moves in us. So sometimes it's as simple as some furniture being delivered. Sometimes it's as grand as standing up and walking when you haven't in 40 years. We can move with boldness, and we should move with boldness in who God is and what God has done. And our goal should constantly be pointing people back to God, not to ourselves, not to the convictions God's given to us, but to God. And let God, through his Holy Spirit, do the drawing. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that you are a God who loves us, that you are a God like Peter. May we be aware of how you've restored us, how you've cared for us, how you've loved us even in spite of what we have done because of what you did through your Son. God, that's the only reason we can stand before you today. And we're thankful. May we understand and be marked by that. May you work through us with power. May you constantly draw us to yourself, and may we point other people to you as well. We pray. In your holy name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.